The Talk of Mid-Maryland, 930 WFMD.
This is the 930 WFMD Weekend Free Talk Express, featuring highlights from local talk shows with your host, Bob Dacey.
Hello, I'm Bob Dacey, and welcome to WFMD's Weekend Free Talk Express, where we revisit some of the best talk shows we have on the air for the past week. So let's sit back, relax, and listen to what we have in store for you on this week's show.
Oh, welcome to this week's edition of Weekend Free Talk Express. This one's a little different because we're right before Election Day, which is coming up on the 8th of November. And remember, if you don't go out and vote, don't complain. If you don't go out and vote, don't get angry. You're getting your opportunity to put in who you'd like to see get into various offices. And these are mostly local elections. We have all sorts of cuts here coming from our communicasters who talk all week on the air with the people and with different individuals that are running for office, and figure if they're running for office, they care enough about this country. They're running for office, they're caring enough about this county to at least care enough to stick their necks out and go door to door and send papers and all sorts of things. So please be respectful of them. Morning News Express, we're running all these ads. We're running dozens and dozens of ads every day. People are buying ads to get their information out. And all of a sudden, at 5 in the morning, we have a very nice, calm, quiet commercial starting with Jan Gardner. And all of a sudden, her head explodes and she turns into this mean person who is just tearing into somebody who's trying to run for her job. Now, she's not running for election, but for some reason she felt a need to just kind of burst in on this opponent of a friend of hers. So without further ado, let's take a listen. We're going to listen to both sides. We're going to listen, and then we're going to listen to the other individual's comment on it. So let's listen to both sides of this argument for county executive.
County Executive Jan Gardner. We have a choice in this election for County Executive who will deliver outstanding schools with the best teachers in the classroom, ensure safe communities, support our working families and our small businesses. Michael Huff will take us backward, abandoning our schools and allowing developers to pave over our farmland. Citizens deserve a County Executive who will tell them the truth, to always be truthful, and to include you in the public process. Michael Huff has been campaigning on lie after lie, funded by special interests. He cannot be trusted to make decisions in the best interests of the public. If you want great schools, safe communities, responsible growth, and honest government.
And Bob, we're right around the corner from the midterms, and joining us on the phone this morning is State Senator and County Executive hopeful Mike Huff joining us. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jessica Fitzwaters debuted a new ad this morning attacking you, saying that you would pave over farmlands and that you would take us backward. We'll give you a chance to respond because you have run a very clean campaign. You've wanted to debate her at every turn. And many of our listeners think that you would be a good fit for county executive.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have anything to sell, you know, and people aren't buying it, then this is what you do. They just run, you know, negative attack ads. She's had a whole campaign now to tell people what she's for, and people aren't, they don't want it. They don't want higher taxes. They don't want more high-density housing. I mean, that's basically her platform. Is she's already pledged to keep raising property taxes. The current county government has raised your property taxes 8 years in a row with record surpluses, record inflation. They still raise your property taxes. And she's been very open about pushing for more development, more high-density housing. I've been very clear about not turning Frederick County into Montgomery County North. You can run ads lying and saying we do something different, but I've been clear, and the differences between the two of us have been very clear. People are not voting for or not going to support her platform, so then they resort to just attacking me. They can go that route, but I'm very comfortable. I have a vision for the county I think that people want. If they do not want to see this county turn into Montgomery County with the traffic, over congestion, over taxation, and the crime.
We're talking with council candidate for becoming the executive here on the Morning News Express, Michael Huff. Michael, we were talking earlier, and I mentioned the question earlier because, you know, obviously being a conservative, the city of Frederick probably not that big of a conservative area. Have you written off that area as, look, I got to focus on, you know, the outliers of the city to get my vision across and get the votes? Or have you gone at downtown? And if you have, what are people downtown saying to you?
Yeah, I've been campaigning in every single part of Frederick County. Actually, I've been a great advocate for the city of Frederick, even though I have not represented them. I got over $10 million of planning money to expand Route 15, which is a huge priority for people in the city of Frederick, people who live in north of the city of Frederick. I got money for the police headquarters last year. And quite frankly, I've been one of the only candidates that's worked All Saints Street, historically African-American part of the city of Frederick. And I've worked with organizations there from the Mountain City Elks to the Masons Lodge to bring money back and investment to those areas, parts of Frederick County that have been ignored for too long. So we've really been working in those areas, and we've gotten great support out of parts of the city of Frederick.
Once again, you have politicians involving themselves where they don't belong, like in law enforcement, you know, like in the situations, you know, in the schools. Yeah. Let's keep the politicians where they belong, trying to, you know, do legislation that has to do with the betterment and help of the people rather than, you know, attacked. That's what they're doing, attacking. In fact, Frank, last night, the president of the United States went down to a very beautiful, you know, venue to express his views on what's good and bad in this country and how we are so blessed and how we should really be looking forward to, you know, just going ahead and, you know, being together. Because he is the great communicator and the great, he's a terrible old curmudgeon divider. And he espoused the views last night were sickening to me. Now, Frank, you watched it.
Yeah.
And you have an entirely different mindset.
Well, I'm going to be a little more middle here and say that there are those that no matter what he would have said or just would close their ears and decide that they don't like it. And there are those that, you know, would just follow lockstep in whatever he said. I would hope there are some in the middle who would say, you know, or even who necessarily wouldn't be Democrats or big Biden supporters, but would say, let me listen, let me think about it. And then after I've given it some thought and a little bit of investigation to the things he said, well, then you can make up your mind.
There's no truth to what he said, Frank. That's the sad part. That's just the.
But he talked about midterm elections, and he said we should stand up against lies, violence, and dangerous ultra-MAGA election disruptors who are trying to succeed where they failed and subverting the 2020 elections. So,
well, wouldn't that be part of his job to, you know, stop lying? Wouldn't that help the situation if that's what he's calling for? I mean, the man, you know, is having more than difficulty with the truth, and I don't like to call someone in his condition a liar because I want to attribute to his illness, which I have, you know, I've diagnosed, and you seem to think it's perfectly all right that the man really doesn't know where he is and what he's doing, but that's entirely up to me. And if you have an opinion, we look forward to that. And Frank will take your calls, or the call taker will take your calls, and we'll go from there. Right, Frank?
Yep. Like Scott, I believe he has a question about one issue on the ballot.
Scott, talk to me.
All right. God, that was fast.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question about question two.
Yes, sir.
I believe it's the question where you have somebody has to live in the district, their congressional district, for a year or 6 months or something like that.
Yes.
That's on the ballot?
Yes.
Okay, I have a question about that, and I'm kind of worried about chicanery that could happen. Like if a congressman has been a longtime congressman and maybe there's a gerrymandering situation and they can gerrymander him out of his district and without him even having to move or leave his house. Or maybe, you know, maybe somebody is the victim of a tornado or something and they have to leave temporarily. Would there be an exclusion for things like that in this ballot, or did they think about that?
First of all, they did think about it, and there would not be exceptions.
That's
wow,
for sure.
Well,
that's what they're saying, yeah. That if they pass this, it's going to be a requirement, and if they gerrymander, then it happens to politicians every 10 years at least, where you get basically out of your own district. Yeah. It happened in New York to Jerry Nadler. And
yes, it did.
So, you know, the people will have to make a decision. He'll have to move into the district or run in a different district is what he's doing. They've made his district bigger by doing away with another district, and he had to run in that. So I think, first of all, it bothers me. I as much as I'm thinking to myself how opposed I would be to this, it depends on what the district is. I mean, if you don't, can you live in another state and run? I mean, we say, oh, that's ridiculous, Tim. Well, could you live in a?
Yeah.
Could you run for mayor of Frederick and live in Carroll and live in another county? I guess you can.
Scott, I think that's a fair question. I don't know if it goes into much detail. I don't know, Tim, that they thought about it that hard. What we're talking about is the everybody in Maryland votes on this.
Yeah.
On the state ballot. And that would amend the Maryland Constitution to require that state legislators reside and maintain a place of abode in the district in which they wish to represent for 6 months prior to the date of election.
Correct.
So I don't know, Scott. I think people are just thinking, yeah, if you run for office, you ought to live where you're running.
Yeah. But Scott, I can tell you that was, if you look at the legislative background before this, how this comes up to become a constitutional question for Maryland, is they took all that in consideration, and I guess that's why it's going to referendum. That's why it's going to the ballot to change the Constitution. Well, let me get your attention. That would be my humble, brilliant opinion. Hold on. Thank you for your call, Scott. 301-694-9363. What, Frank?
Jonathan Doe.
Jonathan Doe. Talk to me, John Doe.
Think about, well, two things. Think about it. Remember we had a mayor that lived on the outside of the city limits, and he had to go rent a house on the inside of the city limits.
Yep. But I think that was changed after that. Maybe then, or John, I was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was changed.
This is all about Trone, David Trone right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is requiring state legislators. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it would apply to
congressional ones.
Congressional or mayors or anything. It says state legislators.
It never really has to congressional, and we talk senators and everything.
I know federally, you don't have to live.
Look at Hillary Clinton, moved into New York, and which is all right.
Alex Mooney, West Virginia.
He moved to West Virginia.
Oh.
Yeah, that was called a carpet bagger.
Yeah.
I mean, bagger. Just a bag. Funniest thing, I went to vote yesterday.
Yes.
And there was this lady out there. I think her name's, last name's Fitzwater. You know, she has the audacity to sit there and keep lying in front of everybody. She don't care.
Why do you say that, John Doe?
She never voted for taxes.
She did.
Increase.
Well, sure she did.
She didn't.
For sure she did. Absolutely she did. That's state law.
It goes on both sides. I mean, but
yeah.
Some of the lies, it's just blatant this year from the president down. It's just, they didn't care. It used to be, kind of fudge it a little bit, but now it's just blatant lies. And what's really stupid or is bad is the stupid people that believe it.
Absolutely. I was listening to the president talk about the price of insulin coming down, and it was interesting to hear that he knew the inventor of insulin. Unfortunately, the guy died a year before the president was born, but he knew him. I mean, they talked a lot, so it's okay. Where's that congresswoman? Where's that congresswoman? Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you are in that same age class I am, extremely old.
No, I'm extremely young.
They're touting that they put a cap on big pharma. That doesn't even start until 2025.
Right.
I mean, it's just, they couldn't say we'll put a cap, but it won't go in effect for a couple of years. No, we put a big cap on big pharma. Well, big pharma's made a ton of money off the federal government during COVID. So,
well, that's also, you remember, one of the questions why I don't like the government into marijuana is, you know, the last drug they gave us called, opioids that they gave us, how well that's done for the population. Yeah, it's wonderful. That's what we need, government-supported drugs.
Live from Grove Hill, the Premier Dental Arts Morning News Express. Now your hosts, Bob Miller and Ryan Hedrick.
And a hearty good morning to you, 612 at WFMD. It's Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick. Oh, my goodness, Ryan, it's a beautiful day. Maybe I ate too much Halloween candy last night. I have no idea.
No. Oh, my gosh. You know, so I forgot to play the specialized weather forecast that Todd Edwards had for you. Hang on real quick.
I'm Todd Edwards. Now here's the man with more candy than any kid in the neighborhood, Bob Miller.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, we didn't have that many trick-or-treaters yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is, why am I, there we go. Turn down my echo here on my side. Which was kind of odd, but I had one kid. Right? I'm sitting out there behind my vehicles because I sit outside and he comes in, and most kids, very polite. They grab a piece or two of candy and I'm like, take some more. This kid reaches in with his hand like the claw and just grabs as much as he can, right? Sticks it in his bag. And I'm like, wow, you got a lot. And he does it again.
And I'm so like, he did it not once, but twice.
Oh, wait. Okay. And I'm like, I think you have enough. And he goes, like the claw again. He goes, one more handful.
Did you stop him?
No, I had enough. I didn't care. I was just funny man. That he did that. And then he was like, I got to go home now. Bye.
That is funny.
That is funny. So, yeah, there you go.
At least you were a safe home where kids can trust. You know, what we saw in Chicago last night, horrific. There was a... I don't know if you heard about this story, but there was a vigil and there was a drive-by shooting. 14 people were struck in a matter of 3 seconds, including a 3-year-old girl who's clinging to life now. So, I mean, there were so many Halloween celebrations locally and in your neighborhood. Thank God they were all safe. But, you know, we're praying for the victims in Chicago as we see that stuff too much. It's just too much.
It's Chicago. Yeah. And sad, man. What is, Little Lightfoot going to say about it?
Little Lightfoot. Nothing. She's not going to say anything.
No. She's going to blame Donald Trump or something. She's a horrible. And Chicago gets. But then again, here's my question, Ryan. Mm-hmm. How do you clean up the city of Chicago?
Yeah, I don't know.
You'll just take away all their guns, Ryan. Take away their guns and become a gun free. Oh, no, they already are.
Yeah. You know, Bob, I don't know. We'd have to talk to a law enforcement official here in Frederick County about how they would tackle the problem. I mean, officials here probably can't even fathom the level of violence. It would take a total buy-in from probably the FBI, the ATF, Chicago police, and the mayor. The official would have to, the top official leading that agency, the CPD, would have to empower them to do what they had to do their job without fear of being, you know, scrutinized or demonized in the media.
It's just one of those places where there's, I don't know, the social ramifications of what happens there. And there's got to be something. Is it, you know, what the left says? Is it gentrification? Is it what is it? I mean, you know, is it just gangs coming in and they pick that city? I have no I don't know. But I could not imagine living in Chicago.
No,
I would not live in Chicago. It should, to me, Chicago, even though it's a great city and I've only been there once, but you know, I would just leave and it should become a ghost town. And
you can also vote on Election Day if you have not yet voted. Election Day, November the 8th. Looking forward to that. And certainly, I want to also, WFMD, Frank, we're going to do something special that night.
Yes, we'll be here with complete coverage, nonstop. Cool. Starting at 9 on Tuesday evening.
I thought we'd have a party or something.
No.
Really?
Well, some will be partying and some will be crying, I guess. we're going to break down the figures as they come in from the precincts and cover all the local races and also get on Fox News Radio for because people want to know what's going on nationally as well.
Absolutely. We'll be here. That's interesting because I was speaking this morning at breakfast that I have the utmost respect for those individuals who have stepped forward to run for office. And I was thinking, I took it a step further, thinking that, you know, if you run for an office and you really put your heart, which I think most people do, put their heart and soul in it. Some don't even do anything and still get elected, but that's up to them. The night of the election, you know, you've done all you can and you still lose. It has to be, I don't want to say gut-wrenching, but it has to be a terrible letdown to think that that's what's happened to you and that's, you know, you did your very best and Well, I guess there's winners and losers. Everybody can't win, thank goodness. But I guess when you get into the game of politics, you can't be thin-skinned. You have to roll with the punches, they say. And there's always next year or 2 years from now or 4 years from now. So, you know, I guess that's one way to look at it. But the people are working hard. There's a lot of people out working hard. There's a lot of people who aren't doing a thing. And we're going to talk about races later on, the campaign races locally and statewide. And it's amazing to me to see that people, you know, that really want the job are out working hard. And I don't know anybody who would run for office that didn't want it. But it'd be interesting to find out what impression they've made upon you.
You know, if there's anybody who goes, I never got to register. I need
to register.
You can stop by one of these early voting locations today, bring by some basic identification and information.
Can't you register?
And you could still register.
I think you can still register on voting day, can't you? I think you can still register in Maryland on voting day. And it may go into provisional ballot status, which is just a hold to a check that basically makes sure everything's, you know, that you're not voting two or three times or something like that.
But if you're not registered.
But if you're not, you can still do that.
You can, and you need to bring your Maryland driver's license.
Or.
State ID.
Or.
Change of address card.
Or.
Paycheck.
Or.
Bank statement.
Or.
Utility bill.
Or.
Or other government-issued documents with your name and address.
Or, as I understood from some of them, if you have people at the, well, that was, what did I talk about yesterday, Arkansas or Alabama? One of them, which I love their voting rules, but there's another, I don't think it's in Maryland, so maybe I'm not even going to say what the other was, but I thought it was kind of cool, is if two or three of the poll workers recognized you and knew you, that would count for identification. That's not in Maryland that I know of, but I think that was, so why'd you bring it up? Because I thought it was interesting, you know, you've been, you know, living here all your life, and you live in a small town, and people know you. I think that's the way it is. And for those...
And don't forget anybody who's been convicted of a felony... And it's not behind bars right now. You can vote.
Is that right?
In Maryland. Yeah, we talked about
that. That's special. Really special. Which I don't have a problem with. If you served your time and you, you know, I think those, you know, that's, as much as I'm a law and order person, I think when people pay for their crimes, then they've paid for them and they need to be welcomed back into society. And one of the ways is to return their rights of voting. I think that that's if they've done their time. Now, if they're sitting in bars and in bars, well, who knows? If they're sitting behind bars.
There are some individuals who can still vote.
Yes, if they're waiting for their pretrial. Most
if you're serving time for a misdemeanor or on pretrial detention.
Yeah, pretrial detention.
Managed and staffed by people who understand Mid-Maryland. 930 WFMD.
Well, we're continuing our replay of the political season here, pulling back some of the stuff that's going on in the station over the last couple of months. Here's Bob and Ryan talking about something from the Morning News Express, and it's all about living in America.
And it is the Bob and Ryan Show.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama took his show on the road, and...
they rolled out Barack Obama, huh?
He got heckled a bit. But you really can't hear it, but Obama goes into Obama mode, man, and he's really good at it. Whoa, wait a minute. Well, I'll let you listen to
it. Whoa, wait a minute, man.
But this is what I mean. This is what I mean. I mean, we're having a conversation. Right now, I'm talking. You'll have a chance to talk sometime. You're going to have to shout each other down. It's not a good way to do business. It's not, you wouldn't do that at a workplace. You wouldn't just interrupt people in the middle of a conversation.
All right, I'm done with him.
Yeah, I mean, so
it's funny. It's funny that it is okay for the left to shout people down.
Yeah.
And do that, but Obama handles it well. He's like, look, you know, he's got that, and whether you like him or not, and I don't, he's got that thing.
Oh, really? You don't like him? He's such a likable guy. Yeah. He was such a great president.
That about wraps it up for Weekend Free Talk Express. We hope you enjoyed some of the interviews brought back from this past week's broadcast on Free Talk WFMD. Join us again next time. Until then, I'm Bob Dacey.
past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com, a service of Holtzapfel Heating and Air Conditioning.